Let me read this card. It's given to us. It says, I, Rick, and family want to thank the church for all the love, support, and kindness you have shown us in such a difficult time. You were there when we needed you the most. Thank you for the good food, prayers, and kind words. Thank Brother McClellan for taking time out for his busy schedule, for being there, and it meant a lot to all of us. We love each and every one of you. Thanks to Max Smith for all his help. Don't know how I could have made it without my church. God bless you, Jerry, Rick, and family. And church, it's commendable that we minister to folks that's lost their loved ones, and I appreciate the work that you've done. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I want to read a couple of verses here, and as brief as I can. I don't know if I can get it brief, but I'm going to get it in here anyway. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you find that chapter, if you would, stand with me and let's honor the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I'm going to reading in verse number 1. Verse number 1, while you pray for us for just a few minutes this morning, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, this morning, thanking you, Father, for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the church. We pray, Lord, your blessings upon each one that's here this morning. Lord, you know our needs today. Father, if there be one soul here that's never been saved, Lord, I pray that today would be the day, Lord, that conviction set up in their heart and the drawing power of God to draw them to an altar of repentance. Lord, I pray this morning again that you'd anoint us, Lord, with fresh oil. Let us preach in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost, that your word might go out and find its lodging place in the hearts and the lives of these people. We ask you now to go with us and give us the words that we need to say. Give us strength and give us power and liberty to preach your word and what you do for us. We'll be careful to thank you. We'll praise you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to us this morning, if God will help us, for just a few minutes on the doctrine of the gospel. I want to talk to us on that thought for just a few minutes and preach to us a few minutes this morning on the doctrine of the gospel. Now, we know that the Bible is compiled of 66 books. There are thousands of individual verses in this Bible, and sometimes, depending on the system that you choose to study on, sometimes you'll head in that direction, and sometimes you'll head in that direction, and then you'll head in different directions. But the whole Bible gives us the doctrine of the gospel. Every bit of it points to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul now says, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And so what he's doing here in chapter number 15 is giving them the doctrine of the gospel that he had preached unto them. There are two subjects that run through the Bible. That common thread that goes from Genesis to Revelation. And that thought is sin and death. Those are the two that run throughout the whole Bible. Everything else that you read in the text addresses those two in the text. And so we know this morning that when man was made in the garden, and he transgressed in the garden the commandment of God to leave that tree alone, then Adam chose willfully to sin. And the Bible said because of sin, death entered into the world. And so these two grave enemies that we contend with is sin and death. And everything else is goes around those two things, and sin and death. And the Apostle Paul said in this doctrine, he said, and in this text, he said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And so we find, first of all, the address of sin in the text. And in that address, we find the person of this doctrine, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why couldn't anybody just die for sin? When you think about it, the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so why couldn't just anybody pay that sin debt? Friend, listen, it was far more than we could ever pay. Amen. And it was far greater of an offense to God than we can ever imagine. When God sent his only Son into this world to die on Calvary's cross, every one of us ought to take another look at Calvary and to realize what that consisted of. Amen. When you think about the death of God's only Son on behalf and for us, that through him we can have the forgiveness of sin. When you think about that, I wondered sometimes when the early church had come along, and then we had what's called in history when Catholicism came into play, and then we began to what's called penance, when people began to try to pay for their own sins. They'd try to pay a penance, a heavy price, and they'd give monies, and they'd give possessions to try to pay their way and be able to have their sins forgiven. Even in the Old Testament days, you find in the ceremonial worship of God, you find them bringing their possession, their bulls and goats and lambs and rams and turtle doves, and they'd give a portion of that, and they'd shed their blood on their behalf, only to carry their sin over until the next year. It was never able to take away their sin. Can you imagine the sacrifices of the animals that were given in the Old Testament? 4,000 years of sacrificial ceremonies, and the thousands and ten thousands and hundred thousands of animals that gave their blood, and for for nothing but just to carry it over to another year. I'm going to tell you, when you think about the sacrifice of God's own Son on the cross of Calvary, one drop of blood, amen, taking away the sin of the whole world. Oh, the value of that person on the cross, on the doctrine of this gospel. I'm telling you, he paid a heavy price for your sin and for my sin and for the sins of the world. Oh, that's the doctrine of the gospel. When you think about, amen, when we got forgiveness of sin forever and forever. That sacrifice on the cross, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, God was satisfied with the payment of his own blood. Amen. I tell you this morning, we ought to be shouting the roof off. Amen. For the very fact that our sins have been forgiven and they're cast in the sea and as far away from us as the east is from the west. Well, bless his holy name. Oh, what a glorious thought when we can have forgiveness of sin. Amen. Sin carries with it a heavy load, a great burden. I tell you, you can look around you and look at the condition how that sin is leaving our society. Just think about it. Look at the homes that have been destroyed because of sin. Just look at the individual lives that have been destroyed because of sin. Our governor of our state proposed an $800 million, $800 million proposal to build more prisons just in the state of Alabama. Oh, the condition of man's sin and the condition that it has left us, they're filled up
with prisoners that have committed crimes worthy to be put in prisons. And many of them, when you talk to them, I visit sometimes over at the jail, been over at the jail over there in Coleman, and it's just packed full of people that said that they really didn't mean to. I'm going to tell you this morning, sin is destruction. Paul called it exceeding sinful. I tell you, sin is exceeding sinful. But Jesus Christ came into this world to take upon his own body our sins and carry it to the cross of Calvary just for our forgiveness and on our behalf this morning. Amen. I'm going to tell you, amen, I'm glad that he paid that price, aren't you? Yeah. I don't ever have to pay that price. I never have to feel the wrath of God placed upon my life. He took upon himself God's wrath at the cross of Calvary. I never will ever be punished to the extent, amen, that I'd have to face the wrath of God. Christians are never punished. They're chastised. Amen. Get that in your mind this morning. We're not ever punished. We're chastised. As a parent corrects their children, God corrects his own children. He doesn't do it to punish you. He does it to better you. Amen. But those that reject the cross, those that reject Christ at the cross, the very person of the doctrine of the gospel, when we reject him, we have no hope in ever getting forgiveness. There is no more sacrifice. The scripture said he is the last and final sacrifice for the sins of the world. But then we have to address not only the forgiveness of sin in this gospel, we have to address the fact of our death. What about our death? We're going to die. According to the word of God, sin entered into the world, and because of sin, death began to reign. And so we had to deal with the issue of our dying. Men have been dying ever since. We've been holding funerals. Everybody, anybody here ever been to a funeral? Wave at me. Some of you had never been to a funeral? I tell you, I believe everybody in the house has been to a funeral sometime or another. We've had to deal with death in our own families and in our own homes. It's not a very pleasant thing to have to remember. I understand that. It'd be better off if we could put it in the recesses of our minds and never have to attend another funeral. But I'm telling you, death is sure. It's uncertain, but it's sure. It's an appointment that we'll all have to keep this morning. And Jesus, the Bible calls this our last enemy. We're going to have to face our last enemy one day after a while. But the good news is that the very person that we got forgiveness of sin for, we've got the resurrection of the dead. Amen. And we may have to slip off into the grave one day, but because of our blessed Lord, we're going to be raised. The Bible said, if a man will believe in his heart and confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. It's the very foundation of our salvation. Just as the cross is the very foundation of our forgiveness, that's where our forgiveness comes from. But our justification of life after death comes in the resurrection. The Bible tells us that when I'm about to have a running fit, I'm trying my best to cool down and to calm down, but I can't help it because my heart is overjoyed over the fact that I've got victory in Jesus Christ. One day, they'll lay this old body down in the old cold grave, but it's a coming up out of there one day. Oh, because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that gave victory over death, hell, and the grave. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, when you think about this resurrection, Peter, let me read it to you, lest you say it's not in there. But now the apostles, when they were preaching the gospel, they preached primarily on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It was the very foundation of their gospel message. It was the hope of glory. Folks have always wondered, is there life after death? Wouldn't it be awful If in Christ we had hope in this life only, we'd be as all men most miserable. Can you imagine? And there's many people that have no hope in Christ. Go to the cemetery and they'll put their mother or father in the grave, or even their children, brothers and sisters, in the grave. Walk away believing that that's the last time they'll ever see them, that they'll never see them again. Oh, what a sad situation. Amen. But I'm glad for the saint of God that believes in the resurrection. Jesus told Mary and Martha, he said, I am the resurrection. It's personalized. Hallelujah. He came up out of the grave, and so will you. And so will you. Peter said, be it known unto all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Amen. It's because of the resurrection of the Lord is we have justification to be alive this morning. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, it's not Easter Sunday. It is to me, and it is to Antioch this morning. This is Easter Sunday. Amen. He's alive. As old preacher said, forevermore. He lives. And because he's alive, we're going to live. Amen. Philippians said, now the Apostle Paul was interested in education. He was. I'm telling you, he knew what it was like to learn. He wanted to learn everything about the religion that he was a sect of, a part of. And he said this in Philippians. He said, yea, doubtless. He said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul witnessed in his own self of the power of this gospel, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. As a 16-year-old boy in an old-fashioned revival meeting, made my way down to the altar and experienced firsthand good news. Amen. Come up out of that altar resurrected. A boy that went down a sinner and came up a saint. Went down lost, come up saved. I'm telling you, went down with no hope, come up with hope. Glory to God. And here I am as the years fly by and we're getting close and nearing the end. But I'm telling you, my hope in Christ is greater today than it's ever been. Hey, listen, of the resurrection of our blessed Lord. Because he's alive, we can live also. Oh, let that ring in your ears. Amen. Let that ring in your soul. Amen. Thessalonians said this in the book of Thessalonians. Let me find it here. Thessalonians, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So there were others that had no hope. There were Sadducees, religious people, did not believe in the resurrection. These apostles, when they preached about the dead being able to be raised and to have life after the grave, how those folks did not believe it. There were two things that Muhammad could not believe as far as the gospel is concerned, and began a Muslim religion. One of them was in a virgin birth. He could not believe in a virgin birth. The second thing is that he did not believe in a resurrection. He did not believe in a bodily resurrection. I'm going to tell you, Muhammad died lost, went straight to hell because of his unbelief. He had no hope this morning. The Bible said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Amen. Your mom and daddies are coming back. Yeah. You're going to see them again. Your children that have been gone before you left here, They're coming back with the Lord. Your grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-great-grandparents and further back than that, that put their trust in a resurrected Lord, they're coming back with Jesus when he comes.
Amen.
Now, whoo! Think about that a few minutes.
Yeah.
Amen. You remember that frail body that they left out of here in? That sickness that they left out of here in, they're coming back one day after a while, and they'll no longer be in that condition. He said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Those, he said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort therefore one another with these words. Oh, the Apostle Paul said, he said, then cometh the end, which he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Far as I know, he conquered that at the grave. I was reading a story one time. I got it out of a preacher's illustration book. And I was just reading some illustrations through there. In seminary, you had to do that. But I was reading a story one time, an illustration. And it said there were three little boys playing out in the yard, and they'd been digging a ditch. And they put some, a long ditch up there. And they put some sticks over the hole. They put some hay and leaves and covered it up. It was just a long tunnel. And them two little boys that did that had a little brother, a little cotton-headed little brother. And their little brother come over there and said, what are y'all doing? Said, we have built this long tunnel. And they said, he said, what are you going to do? He said, well, we're afraid to go through this long tunnel, afraid it'd cave in on us. He said, I'll go. He said, I'll go. And so sure enough, they said, well, you will? They said, yeah. And then so the little boy started down, and it started down in that ground. And he kept on. He stayed gone a long time. Took him a long time. And then looked over. And about that time, they saw that little cotton-headed boy come up out of that tunnel at the other end. And that little boy said, come on. Come on. It's okay. You'll make it. Come on. Our blessed Lord Jesus, when he went to the cemetery, amen, he went to the tomb. He didn't stay in the grave. He come out on the other side, and he's saying to you and I, come on, come on, hallelujah, you'll make it. Thank God, because he made it, we'll make it through. This morning, you can't be saved until you believe in those two doctrines in the Bible. Our forgiveness of sin and the resurrection of our blessed Lord.
Amen.
You cannot be saved unless you confess that he's alive forevermore. What'd be the point? Think about it. What'd be the point? Yes. You know why we're here today? It's not because of the cross. It's because of the resurrection.
Amen.
We're here today because we have life in the Lord. If the cross is the only hope that we had, we'd still be without hope. All we'd have is forgiveness of sin. That'd be good, but it wouldn't be good enough.
That's right.
But it was at the cemetery where the lady said, he is not here. He's risen, just like he said. And that's what got Peter empowered on the day of Pentecost, was the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. The doctrine of the gospel this morning. Now let me ask you a question. You're here, you have to address as an individual those two issues. Sin, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And the resurrection, do you believe? Do you believe? While we stand together, get us a song ready.